When we look at the book of Jonah, it begins with the word of God came to Jonah. And we noticed this last week, how important the word of God and obeying the word is in the book of Jonah. Jonah, of course, is told by God to do something. But not only Jonah, the wind is commanded by God. The Hebrew says, uses this phrase in our English Bible, and God appointed, and God appointed. God appointed the wind to blow. He commanded the fish to swallow Jonah. He spoke to the fish to vomit Jonah back up. And then God commanded the plant, and after the plant, a worm to eat the plant, and then a scorching heat once again. And do you know who the only one in the book of Jonah that doesn't obey God and listen to his word is? It's Jonah. It's the prophet. And we notice that the overarching theme of Jonah is God's compassion. Boundless mercy. Last week it was mercy to the mariners, the sailors, who were pagans, worshiping other gods, but realized they were in peril, and God provided through the substitution of Jonah. Remember, Jesus said, a greater one than Jonah has come. Through the substitution of Jonah, provided them salvation. This week, we want to look at God's mercy to the runner. Mercy to the runner. And why is Jonah running? Did you ever think about that? Why is he running? Is he a coward? I mean, the Ninevites were real bad. These were the Assyrian people. They were vicious. The list of things that they did to other nations and people they fought, I couldn't even read that in the company of small children. Some of the things that our history books say about the Assyrians and their methods. So maybe Jonah was a coward. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he was actually very brave. For him to stand up and say, go ahead, pitch me over the side and you'll survive, is not something a coward would say. Was he a bigot? Did he just hate others, other people that weren't like him, that were of a different race? I don't think that was the root of it either, because he did give his life. He thought he was giving his life for those mariners, for those Gentile pagan sailors. We get the answer at the end of the book as to why Jonah is running. This is what he says in chapter 4. He gets real angry and he says to God, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Jonah was a prophet in the court of Jeroboam II. It was a time of greatness in Israel. It was a time when they were taking land back. They were taking land from the Assyrians. They were prospering. But there was a prophecy in the Bible that Jonah was very much aware of that said the Assyrians were going to come in and take the land back and destroy the people of Assyria, the people of Israel. And Jonah knew, he knew about that prophecy. He knew what God's word said about the Assyrians and the Ninevites, and that they were capable of coming back and killing his fellow Israelites and taking back the land. And he knew that God is gracious and abounding in mercy. That's our word, hesed. And so Jonah didn't like God's plan. Jonah liked the plan that said, you know what? And Nahum said this. He liked the plan that said, those Ninevites are real bad people, and there should be some justice to them. They need to be paid for what they did. And they're going to pay. They're going to suffer. They're going to be wiped out. and Israel's going to prosper. Jonah liked that plan, okay? That's the one he liked. He didn't like this plan where he goes to Nineveh and they repent. They experience God's boundless mercy. They change. But Jonah had a much bigger problem than the plan. His real problem was with the one who gave it to him. He didn't like God's plan. And you know, really, that's the root of all sin. It all starts with, I just don't like your plan, God. It doesn't make sense to me. I think I have a better way. I think I know what's better. Adam and Eve, that's what started it, right? With Adam and Eve. A refusal to believe that God is more dedicated to our good and he's more aware of what that is than we are. And it's just hard to believe sometimes. It's hard to see where a situation could be beneficial. It could be a sickness, a cancer, or something. It's hard many times in life to see where, how could this be a good thing? How could this be going the right way? One of the main reasons that we trust God too little is because we trust our own wisdom too much. We trust our own wisdom too much. And because of our deep mistrust of God's goodness and His Word, sometimes we do everything we can to get out from under His hand. But you know what? There's two ways to run. There's two different types of runners here. And Tim Keller, in his book about Jonah, tells how the four chapters of Jonah are very much like the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. In the first two chapters, Jonah's the younger brother. He's gonna run. The younger brother says, I want what's mine. I'm getting out from under your hand. I don't go for your values. Give me my inheritance. Let me live my way. And that's what Jonah does, right? Jonah just says, he gets away from the Father. He gets away from God. He says, you know what? I'm leaving the presence of the Lord. And what that probably means is that Jonah wasn't so stupid that he thought he could go somewhere on the earth that God wouldn't see him. The presence of the Lord is a way of saying, you're a prophet. Elijah, Elisha, they stood in the presence of the Lord. It was an office. It was a role they had. And Jonah says, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm quitting. I'm done. No more this presence of the Lord. No more being your prophet. I don't like your plan. I don't like what you're doing here. And he's like the younger brother. He goes on the run. But there was an older brother. There was an older brother, and we see the older brother who was dutiful. The older brother was very dutiful, and he stayed there, and he did everything for the father that he said, until his father showed mercy to the younger brother, right? And then the older brother got real mad. And that's Jonah. And Jonah, at the end of the book, Jonah's mad. God shows mercy to Nineveh, and Jonah is so mad about that. He just goes and sits somewhere and says, I'm just going to sit here and die. There are two ways to run. And the older brother runs. He's trying to be religiously observant. There are those who figure, you know what? I'll just avoid sin. I'll just be virtuous. I'll be good. And then God will owe me, right? He's obligated. He's obligated to bless me and answer my prayers because I have been so dutiful. Those people are runners, just like Jonah. Those people are runners. Both are running. Both say, I can't trust God. I don't think he's committed to my good. I have to force him to be good to me. Jonah will do anything to get away from God, anything to keep from obeying, anything to keep Nineveh from being saved. And there's a descending order in his life as he runs. The Bible uses the word down, There's four different times that he descends. He goes lower and lower. It tells us in chapter 1 that he went down to Joppa. He went down to Joppa and he found a ship there going to Tarshish and he paid the fare. And you know what? If you want to run from God, there's always going to be a ship there. There's always going to be a way. There's always going to be someone somehow that's there and a way for you to run. Jonah went down to Joppa. And then it tells us he went down into the ship. And then the storm comes, and again, for the third time, he went down into the depths of the ship, and finally, swallowed by the fish in the belly of the whale, Jonah is in the depths of the ocean. He's in a mess. He hits bottom. He's gone down as far as you can go, the belly of the fish. Unworthy, undeserving. And sometimes you have to come to this before you really discover God's grace, God's mercy. You have to hit bottom. Like Abraham and Elijah and David and Joseph and Peter. You may have heard it said that you never realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And that's Jonah's position. He's at the bottom. So let's just briefly read his prayer. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me, and your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall look again upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head, and the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars were closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the dry ground. Jonah comes to grip with God's grace. He realizes, first of all, that he's guilty. He's guilty, and that he's deserving of being in the place where he is. He has sinned. He's disobeyed God's word. He's ran from God, and this is why he ended up in this position. He also realizes that he is spiritually unable to do anything. He can't get himself out of that fish. There's nothing he can do. And the third thing he realizes is that he says, God provides salvation. The salvation comes from God. God spoke to the fish. Jesus said, a greater one than Jonah has come. He provides the salvation. And so he's lost, condemned, unable to unlock the doors of his prison, and he cries out, save me. And God does. Mercy to the runner. Are there any runners here today? Spiritual runners. Are you running from his word? You know, runners come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all ages. Children and teenagers and midlife and those who are perhaps at the far end of life, right? They come in all shapes and sizes. They don't like the plan. They know what's better. And they have their own ideas. There are religious runners. They're religious runners. They're good. They're dutiful. They're obeying God. And God's going to owe them, right? Because of their religion. Running gets you in a big mess. Trust that His plan is better, that He has only our good in mind for us. He has what's best for us in His plan.